بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين جل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف اللهم أخرجني من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمني بنور الفهم اللهم افتح علينا أبواب رحمتك وانشر علينا خزائن علومك برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. We studied in the first session the definition of أصول الفقه. We said أصول الفقه or principles of jurisprudence is the science which studies the rulings from which you can draw Islamic rulings. So the rules from which you can draw Islamic rulings from the sources. Qawa'id, or the rules, we talked about it. Then we started talking about hukm. So this is why we are talking about different types of hukm. Okay? So we said, in a general way, we can say every hukm in Islamic Sharia is either taklifi or wad'i. Of course, the late Sheikh Fadli divides it into three, because he divides ahkam taklifi, which are five, into two. He calls ibaha, takhiri, and the rest taklifi. But I think the common way is better, and in English book I have put it just taklifi and wazi. So either the rulings pertain to mukallaf's actions directly to do or not to do, or they pertain to something about a situation that indirectly requires certain action from mukallaf. For example, when we say something is obligatory, something is prohibited, something is recommended, something is disliked, or something is permissible, these five, these are taklifi. But when we say istata'a, to be healthy, to be well off, to be safe, is a condition for wujubul hajj, for hajj to become obligatory, you have the condition of istata'a, this shartiyya, this conditional situation, is not taklifi, it's wad'i. Okay? So shartiyatul istita'a li wujub al-hajj hukmun wad'iyyun. Or for example, if someone is na'uzu billah a killer, a murderer of, for example, say his father is very rich, so he kills his father to inherit the money of his father. In Islam we say al-qatil la yarith, the murderer would not inherit. So qatl, murder, is mani', is an obstacle for inheritance. So qatl or murder being a mani, an obstacle, is hukm baz'i or taklifi? Is baz'i. Because we are not saying you have to do this or not to do this. This is a situation that we are declaring that when there is murder, one cannot inherit. It's not directly about taklif. We are not saying what murderer has to do or, you know, has not to do. Yeah? That's another issue. Yes.
So that, what does he mean clear?
Pardon?
Was he, does it mean clear?
Clear?
Was he?
Uh-huh.
So does it mean clear? Apparent.
What's the meaning?
No. Wadi means related to the situation, to the condition. It's kind of situational ruling. A ruling which pertains to the situation. Or, for example, sababiyya. Let me ask you a question. I want to see who is very alert. As-sariq wa as-sariqah faqta'u aydiyahuma. Okay. This is the verse about the people who commit theft. Of course, it has many conditions. It's not that every thief would receive this punishment. But with several conditions, if it is proved for the court, for a legitimate judge, that this person has committed theft with all these conditions, then his hand or his fingers will be cut off. Question. Is this hukm taklifi or waz'i? As-sariq wa as-sariqa faqta'u aydiyahuma. This ayah is taklifi or waz'i? Everyone says waz'i? No one says taklifi?
It is waz'i. There is waz'i but can turn into taklifi because of
sabab. Is faqta'u taklifi or waz'i?
Once the conditions are met,
indeed, this ayah has two rulings. There is one waz'i and one taklifi. Faqta'u is taklifi. But the theft being a cause for the obligation is waz'i. So in this ayah we have two rulings, waz'i and taklifi. Okay? As-sariq wa as-sariqa faqta'u aydiyahuma. Okay. Now, with respect to hukm taklifi, we said one of them is wajib. Okay? One is haram, one is makruh, mustahab, ibaha. And I tried also to explain how something becomes wajib, how something becomes makruh. All those discussions that we had last week, inshallah you remember, you had mubahasa, everything. I don't need to repeat, yeah? Do I need to repeat? Okay. Now, let's go to wujub and have certain classifications of wujub for our session today. Actually, there are 7 classifications for wujub in the book that I am sure you already know some of them. Yes, so in Arabic is page 10. Some of them are very well known, so it's just a reminder for you. Maybe some of them are new for you. The first classification, you know, you can classify the same thing in different ways, yeah? For example, we can say those who are in this room are either brothers or sisters. Those who are in this room are either young or middle-aged or old. Those who are in this room are either, for example, I don't know, Farsi-speaking people, Arabic-speaking people, Urdu-speaking people. So you can divide in different ways the same thing. Okay? The same maqsam can be divided into different things depending on what is your concern. Are you dividing them according to language, to gender, age, whatever? So, wujub can be divided in different ways. One way is to say that either it is ayni or kifai. What is ayni? You all know this. Something that everyone is responsible to do, and by some people doing it, other people would not be exempted. Still, they have to do it. We cannot say, alhamdulillah, many people fast, so I don't need to fast. No, you have to fast. Even if millions of people are fasting, you have to fast, because this is wajib aini. So it has belonged to every single mukallaf. What is wajib kifai? It is something that has belonged to every mukallaf. But if some of the mukallafs do it, then other people are exempted. How many other mukallafs have to do it? This is a tricky question. If someone dies, how many people should do ghusl and kafan and dafn? This is kafai. So, can you tell me how many people should do wajib kifai so that other people are exempted? Pardon? We cannot fix number. It depends. What is important in wajib kifai? This is not, you know, maybe in the book, but I want to explain things so that you, inshallah, grasp. What is important in wajib kifai is that the job has to be done. So, the concern of shari, you know shari, the legislator, shari muqaddas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his concern or his aim is that this job has to be done. So, as long as the job has not been done, all are responsible. But when those who can take care of job properly do it, other people are free. For someone dying, maybe one person can take care of everything. Maybe one person cannot, two people. So one, two, few people. But sometimes we have wajib kifai that maybe thousands or tens of thousands of people have to get involved. For example, if our country is attacked, we have to defend our country. Okay? How many people? Few people? No. Maybe all of us have to go, and still we have shortage. So, it depends on what that job requires. We cannot fix the number. If job is done, others are free. If the job is not done, all of them are questioned by God. Why you didn't take care of this? Is it clear? Okay, now question. Is Islamic education, Islamic studies, wajib or mustahab? It's wajib. Is it kifai or aini? To some extent is aini. To some extent, everyone has to do it. Yes, to become a theologian, a faqih, a mufassir is kifai. We have to have some people. But for your own needs, for your own development, for your family, you have to know. You cannot say, alhamdulillah, we have few fuqaha. Or alhamdulillah, there are enough students in the house. No. This is responsibility of everyone to study so much so that he can have proper understanding of his aqa'id, of his practical duties. This is aini. Then after that, when we reach to become specialized, to become expert, then that is wajib kifai. But do we have enough number of ulama, especially in the West? No. So then everyone is responsible. So either you have to become alim or you have to support so that inshallah in future we would have enough. Otherwise we are all questioned by God why this wajib kifai is not fulfilled. Is it clear? Everything is logical. Yeah? To some extent, everyone must learn. Maybe this, you know, 2 years, 3 years of hose, I think everyone needs. But to continue for 10, 15, 20 years is something that if some people do, would be enough. But provided that all the needs of the community is met. Otherwise, we are all responsible. So Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, Layta siyat, layta siyata ala ru'us ashabi hatta yatafaqahu fi ddeen. I wish there was a way to force my Shia so that they would properly learn the religion. Tafaqquh means deep understanding, not just, you know, very basic things. Yatafaqahu fi ddeen. So, if there was a possibility of using force, we would have used force for this, for encouraging people to learn. You know, in many countries, going to a school is compulsory. If they see a child on the street, in the age of schooling, they will ask the parents, you know, why you don't send your child to the school? Yeah? So it's not something strange. Even if needed, maybe they punish the, for example, the parents. If they see they are careless, maybe they take the custody from the parents, you know, if someone stops, you know, child going to school. So even for secular education, they have this understanding. When it comes to religious education, it must be dealt with much more seriousness. But we are not in a position to force people for going to learn religion. Okay? This is to show how important it is. But we have to encourage. Maybe for your own children, a little push is also sometimes needed. If you have, you know, children, you know that, for example, first year of sending your child to a school or nursery is not always easy. Every day, sometime for a few months, sometime, you know, even for more than a few months, every morning you have to, you know, talk to them and, you know, somehow convince them to go to school. Maybe sometime you have to be a little strong. Yeah? So here is the same. We should not say, okay, we leave it to people, to children, to youngsters to learn. We have to encourage, we have to sometime a little bit push. I remember Ayatollah Ahmadi Miyanadi Rahmatullah Alayhi saying that sometimes people came to Hoze because of their own interest. Sometimes they were pushed by their parents. But when they came to the Hoze after some time, they started enjoying it. You know? So especially when they used to go very young age, you know, for example, you know, 13, 14 years old, you know, people going to the Hoze. Now many people go after high school, at least. But in the past, they were going much earlier. So sometimes parents push the child, put him in the right position, as they do it with other types of studies. And then the child, after some time, gets used to it and starts seeing the beauty. When you are not used to something, you only see the difficulties. When you are used to something, then you can see the beauties as well. So this is the role of education. This is the role of helping people to develop good habits. Anyway, this is something we can discuss maybe another time. Just I wanted to give you an example that Islamic education is to some extent wajib, aini, and for a higher level, it's wajib kifai, but unfortunately, in many areas, we don't have enough people who can take care of this wajib. Then we are all responsible. Okay. The next taqsim or division or classification is الوجوب التعييني in contrast to وجوب التخييري. Here, the attention is not to مكلف. The attention is to what we have to do. Sometimes the shari, the legislator, says, I want this from you. There is no choice, no alternative. Sometimes he says, you have to do either this or that. Okay? For example, with respect to Salat, today is Monday. For our Salat Zohr, do we have any choice? No, we do Zohr. There is no choice. But on Friday, according to some ulama, you can do Zohr or you can do Jum'ah. In the time of Ghaibah, according to some fuqaha, you have choice of doing Zohr or Jum'ah. But on Thursday, on Monday, on Tuesday, on other days, you don't have choice. That is only for Zohr of Jum'ah. Or if someone has broken his fasting without excuse, intentionally, there is kafara. Okay? That kafara can be one of the three. Either freeing one slave, or fasting 60 successive days. Of course, when we say 60 successive days, it can be 31 days successively and 29 days separated. That's shahrayn mutatabi'ayn. Or feeding 60 poor people. So you can do one of these three, unless it is kafaratul jama'. In some cases, you have to do all of them. But normally, it is one of the three. So this is wajibah takhiri. Okay? It means a kind of optional. But optional not in the sense that you can do it or you can leave it altogether. It means that you have options with respect to what you have to do. Is it clear?
Yes.
So if I say optional, then I mean optional obligation. Okay. So there are alternatives. Then the next classification. Sometimes an obligation comes with timing. Sometimes it's not related or fixed with the timing. So we call mu'akkat, means there is waqt. Waqt means time. For example, salat is kitaban mawquta. Yeah? Daily prayer comes with timing. Sometimes there is no timing. Is it clear? So wajib is sometimes mu'akkat, means it comes with timing. This is different from mu'akkat, which means temporary. This means it has timing. Sometimes it's, so you can say temporal, not temporary, temporal, or with timing, or without timing. The one which comes with timing is either mudayyak or muwassa. What does it mean? Sometimes the time period that you have been given is just enough to do the wajib. Is mudayyak. Is very little. You don't have lots of, you know, space to be flexible. For example, in the months of Ramadan, you have to fast every day. The time of fasting for every day is fixed. And also the time of the fasting for the whole month is fixed. You don't have extra time. But for daily prayer, still there is time, so it's mu'akkat, but you are given a period of time. For example, for Salatul Fajr, you need 3 minutes, 5 minutes, but you have about 1.5 hour, more or less. So you have a period in which you have flexibility. So this is called wajib mu'aqqat, which is muwassa'. There is sa'a, there is a kind of a space for you. Opposite to muvayyaq, which there is no space for you. Is it clear? And then sometimes it's not mu'aqqat at all. When it is not mu'aqqat, means it's not fixed with a time period. Okay? Now I ask you a question to see who is alert. If masjid becomes najis, what we have to do?
Purify.
We have to clean masjid. Is this mu'aqqat or ghayru mu'aqqat? It is not mu'aqqat. It means that it is not said that you have to do it within 5 minutes or within 10 minutes, then becomes ghaza. No. So there is no time attached to it, but you have to do it as soon as possible because it is fori. But sometimes it may not be fori. Okay? Sometimes you have to do it. You have time. For example, if your dress or body becomes najis, for salat you have to clean it. You don't need to clean it right away. Okay? Or for example, if someone in the months of Ramadan, during, for example, the day, in some cases, not all cases, in some cases during the day needs ghusl of janaba, then doesn't need to do it quickly if it is after the day started, not before Fajr. Anyway, sometimes something is mu'aqqat, sometimes it's ghayru mu'aqqat. So sometimes it's with time, temporal, sometimes without time. Those which are with time can be muwassa' or muwayyaq. Okay? And those which come without time can be something that you have to do them as soon as possible. And sometimes you have liberty. You have, you know, freedom. For example, if you have to do amr bi ma'ruf, nahi anil munkar, sometimes you don't need to do it in the first 5 minutes or 10 minutes. You have time. Maybe you do it in the weekend. Maybe you do it, you know, next week. Maybe you do it the next time you meet the person. Depending on the situation. Sometimes the time is important. Sometimes it's not important. Okay. I again repeat this, lesson, the introduction, is full of new terminologies and, you know, classifications. But please don't feel, you know, that you cannot understand or, you know, it's too much or, you know, difficult. It's just for the beginning of the book. Later we will have more substantial discussions. So if you hear too many words, too many terms, don't think that it's always like this. Some people enjoy learning new terms, but some people, you know, think that it's difficult for them. But these are just for introduction. Still, we are introducing you some terms. The next classification is either wujub is conditional or it's unconditional. If wujub is conditional, it means that without that condition, it's not wajib. But if it is absolute, means regardless, it's wajib. For example, to be required to do Hajj is conditional upon istita'ah, to be well off, to be healthy, to have safety. Okay, there are a few conditions that all together means istita'ah. If someone is not mustati, is Hajj wajib on him or her? No, Hajj is not wajib if someone is not mustati. Allahumma salli. Inshallah, we continue after Salat. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.